Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Sixth inning, you guys are rallying off Holland. You went with Danny Mendick tried to get a bunt down. What was kind of the goal there? And with the momentum you had on Holland, did you consider kind of swinging away given the success you guys are having?
What was the score at the time? 4-3?
4-3, yeah.
Yeah. There's a time run on second base and they lead off and they go ahead running first. And if he bunts them over, you got Anderson and Madrigal. I mean, I think that's the play.
I hurt myself today.
I think that's the play.
To see if I still feel.
Why are we bunting?
I focus on the pain.
Stupid. Ozzy.
The only thing that's real.
Is that what he said?
He's bunting. He's bunting like he's a National League manager, and it's 2011 all over again. And it made Dan Bernstein sports mad. And I love when Dan Bernstein gets sports mad. It makes me very happy, because what we do is completely ridiculous. But Bernstein gets sports mad better than basically anyone that I've ever met gets sports mad. Would you agree?
I agree. And to his credit, he knows it. He knows what we do is ridiculous. But I mean, we all ended up here because we're passionate about this stuff, and the way that he's passionate about it ends up manifesting in very particular ways when he sees managers do something very outdated and perhaps also incredibly inappropriate for the moment.
Dan, are you still mad on Monday afternoon about what happened Friday night?
I'm more sad than mad, I guess. I get it's this grim sense of resignation, and it comes in waves. And the problem is that when I hear people I like, longtime friends of mine, who are expressing feelings that matter more than ours do, people who just are closer to it than we are, who say things like, "I don't know what can be done. I don't know what we can do. This was totally avoidable. This just sucks." And you layer that on top of change the game and the juxtaposition of those of the Southside uniforms, and then we have backwards managing. It makes every it's like a cruel twist of the knife. So I guess it's a me problem, and I just have to figure out how bad I need to feel about it.
That's it. How bad you need to feel about it is an interesting way to put it. Stan from Bellwood called Hit and Run the other day.
Wow. Yesterday. I'm glad to hear he's doing okay.
Absolutely. He calls
he's
every
a
once
stud.
In a while. Stan, longtime baseball guy, longtime Hit and Run caller, longtime White Sox fan. And he said he's having trouble enjoying this team because of Tony. And that made me sad. I told him not to, you know, try to not let that get in the way, because they waited so long. Stan's waited forever to have a team this good, the team this close. But that's unfortunate, isn't it? I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people who are having trouble kind of enjoying the season because of the guy and the manager and the storyline and the whole thing.
We called it. I wanted to be wrong. I really did. I wanted to be wrong. And I wanted to see that maybe Tony La Russa is like, you know what? I'm going to listen to a bunch of new people. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to study up on what the trends are, what we know now that we didn't know then, and how to do this. And I was hopeful that with the encouragement of Jerry Reinsdorf, that Tony wouldn't just kind of roll out a 1994 and start doing this again. But the worst outcomes are being are manifest here. And that's what bothers me, because I see Dusty Baker, who was the poster manager for the abuse of starting pitchers, become a pitching conservationist. Mm-hmm. He's because he learned, and because he had to, because he didn't have the same damn privilege that Tony La Russa does. He did it because he had to survive, and as a manager, and he did, and he's a different manager now because he went out of his way to learn things. And it's the laziness, it's the entitlement, it's the privilege that bothers me. Tony La Russa, this version could be better, and he doesn't care.
He doesn't seem to be adapting in this way. Ethan Katz told us that there was a chance, you know, that they were having conversations about using closers in tie games on the road. Do you leave open the possibility that come October he will adapt, as he is still new on the job by 2021 standards?
I don't know. It's going to take a village, and it shouldn't, because the amount of heat loss this causes an organization is immeasurable. But it's going to take heavy lifting. It's going to take lobbying, and it may take some strong stands on the part of some people inside, including Rick Hahn and Ken Williams and others. But I would ask Jerry Reinsdorf, do you really want to win? This your handpicked manager, left to his own devices, and he is left to his own devices, is making your team less likely to win in many games now, around the margins, and it adds up. You can win some of those games in which you make your team less likely to win. In fact, you can probably win most of them. Mm. But you can't. If he truly wants to win, someone has to make a case to him to either allow for some kind of intervention or allow for a different decision-making process or some fail-safes.
Danny flummoxed me earlier with a very simple question. Is he doing a good job?
No.
As you look at the record, as you look at the way that things have gone, there are some things that he's done well. I do believe that just about any other manager could have come in with this quality of a team and gotten them to where they are. So, yeah, it sounds like you've got a very easy binary answer to that, and I struggled with it.
And when people who watch as much as we do, a replacement-level manager makes this a better baseball team.
How many wins do you think he's cost them?
That's impossible to say mathematically. I know that we can go through the schedule, and I think Layla's keeping a lot of the receipts on this. And if she would be more knowledgeable for some of the specific things. But she's pointed to, I think, now 7 different games with at least one situation that has objectively made them less likely to win. That doesn't mean he's lost 7 games for them. But what it isn't just the ones that he's lost for them. It may be a win in which he made his team less likely to do so, because you can't predict when those things are going to come to fruition.
Right. But I guess my question would be, on the other side of that, are there games with decisions that he's made that has increased their chances of winning?
Not that,
like, whether you can point to, Speaks was mentioning Jake Lamb. Does his development and the Jake Lamb wins and putting him in the lineup, does that happen with other managers? Billy Hamilton doing a good job seemingly, and I know some people want him to pitch more, with Garrett Crochet or Michael Kopech. Obviously, Ethan Katz gets a lot of credit for that, but Rodon is having a marvelous year, using all 26 guys on the roster. And, oh yeah, by the way, having the Eloy injury and the Robert injury and still being 36 up and 23 down.
I think that's a fair question, and I think the only way to answer it correctly is to not presume that any other players in their stead, you know, because if it wasn't Jake Lamb, it's possible it could have been somebody who performed better. You know, if it's not Billy Hamilton, it's possible it could have been somebody who actually had a weighted runs created plus over 100. You know, so there's just, it's too open-ended. I don't think he's actively sabotaging them. I don't think he's.
Of course.
It's just too many times there have been obvious just forehead slap wrong things done. And that doesn't even measure what's being said internally in the organization and the effect that this stress to this point in the season and all of what's going on behind closed doors and the people that are muttering and know they can't say anything and are wondering how that just affects a team immeasurably.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the stuff that we were on the lookout for and we haven't seen yet. And maybe that will come out and play out over the course of the year. The problem with these conversations is that it's a vast collection of individuals. So Danny just rattled off the situations. I don't give Tony a drop of credit for Carlos Rodon. I do give him some credit for the usage of Michael Kopech and how they've mapped that out. And he's referenced how they had Adam Wainwright, when he was a rookie. And I think some of that experience has been useful. You know, like, so it's this massive collection of individual situations. And even those don't necessarily add up to the win and the loss, which makes it a beautiful and also frustrating game to dissect. Right?
And that's looking at some of the hard stuff. That doesn't bring up the cultural issues. That doesn't bring up his to be generous, a spotty history with anything other than American players and how that fits in and just how the gears grind when juxtaposed with the change the game and everything they're trying to do and all of that multicultural joy that we had going into the season. That doesn't even bring all that up because that again is back to the subjective and that's back to how does Stan from Bellwood feel? Mm-hmm. These are the fact that we're here, the fact that we have to ask all this is kind of proving the point.
Well, and that part is undeniable that it's been messier and it's been more about the manager and there have been more national headlines and it's been a more of a sandpaper bumpy experience.
Less fun.
And that is obviously unnecessary.
My least favorite overnight host. Less fun.
Well, ironically enough.
But what did you make anything of yesterday? Shane noticed it. I noticed it. It's not normally my brand of sports analysis, but they seem to be pretty happy for Tony after the game, becoming the second winningest manager.
Like I guess, but they should have been happier for him a night before when they had a better chance to win.
Okay, no, agreed. But when we're talking about chemistry and we're talking about the likability and all of that, I guess I thought, like you did, when they hired him, that these things were going to come up. And I described the Yermin Mercedes example as like he set up a landmine, he installed it, and then he stepped on it. Like what the hell were you doing? Completely avoidable controversy. It was a blip on the radar to this team. They like dismissed him, laughed about it, and moved on. It doesn't seem like the things that he is doing in that regard are derailing this team one iota.
Well, it sure didn't help Yermin Mercedes any. I mean, that was.
I think
it's probably coincidental. But if you are in the school that believes it's causal, that he is an emotional player, he plays at sort of a high arousal level, and if that put a seed of doubt or uncertainty in the back of his head in his rookie season, that I don't think you can rule it out completely. I think it might be a stretch to say that exactly caused a slump that was probably inevitable anyway. But it's hard to say it might not have contributed to it.
Yeah, I certainly feel that way. Asked Stoney about it directly on Friday, and he pushed back hard on it and said it's the league adjusting to Mercedes, and there's data out there that says Yermin can't hit velocity. He's really struggling against high velocity, so the league has that part figured out on him now. I wonder if there is there room for the idea that someone is going to zig where others have zagged in terms of the bunting, like the Ryan Tannehill Titans running the ball as much as they have, you know, like is there a zig back to small ball because you have to try and get runs whenever you can kind of thing? Is that possible?
I don't think yet. I think that if that happens, that's going to be a product of larger forces, a function of larger forces. Whether it's changes to the mound distance or changes to the ball, where it may just be that a ball in play is better math, because right now at the moment you just can't make the math work, because ground balls are outs and the currency of the game is outs, and you're so much better off just trying to not be out. You know, we know it. We see it in the win expectancy numbers when even a quote unquote successful sack bunt makes you less likely to win. First and second, and zero or one out, and then second and third with that extra out tacked on there, that's just math.
Correct. No, I agree. And I'd like to know, and they just don't get tracked and we don't get talk about them in this way of like decisions where the win expectation goes up based on the decisions. It's just
that's all it's got to be. That's all you ask is just keep it the same or make it go up. And it's funny. I was having a conversation, you know, having watched a lot of high school ball this summer where they talk about, you know, keeping the ball in play. They do bunt a lot. And I asked one of the coaches about bunting and he kind of smiled at me. He's like, I know what you're going to ask. I said, what? He said, this isn't Major League Baseball. He said, we're playing on a park district field with a lot of kids who don't, they're going to pick up a JV base, they're going to pick up the ball. Half of them aren't going to know where to throw it. He said, the math is better for us sometimes. He said, you can't measure this math against Major League Baseball math where everybody knows where to go with the ball. Everybody can field every position and anything on the ground is an out.
You know, it is interesting. Earlier today, we were reminded as a show, I think as a nation, we were reminded that Danny Parkins in sixth grade had a walk-off bunt in his final year of organized baseball to win what he called the World Series.
I don't know what else you would call it.
I wasn't aware they let sixth graders play in the World Series, but apparently there is a picture of successful Danny holding up a trophy after the walk-off bunt, and I'm personally thinking about blowing it up real big and posting it here in the studio. I wonder if you and Layla would have an issue with that.
Oh, I think it'd be great. And I see it too when when my son is umpiring for the 7-year-olds, and I'll occasionally go over there and, you know, bring a couple crossword puzzles because he's not driving yet, so I gotta. And it's just, you talk ball, every ball in play is a hit.
Yes.
Anything. And Coach Kitch, every ball in play is a hit.
I remember I was a T-ball superstar because my dad gave me the magical advice, just keep running. Nobody can catch. It was so useful, so helpful. I had T-ball home runs, like Billy Hamilton's Little League home run last week. I had a whole bunch of those.
Well, and those of us who played in television remember that in the two-dimensional baseball game, a bunt home run, an actual out-of-the-park bunt home run was possible.
It's just hard for me to totally hate the bunts because that was such a great moment in my sports life.
I understand.
Personally, it's very difficult, but I understand the math. Dan, I also wanted to get your thoughts on this. What do you make of these billionaires in their race to space and Bezos saying that he will be the first manned spacecraft that his company has developed, he's going up. They've done that. they've done the test ones with nobody, but he wants to be the first human in the first rocket ship in space for private flight.
Okay, I think the potential for unmitigated disaster is there. Mm. I think the potential for high ratings is there if people are going to watch all this stuff. Mm. I just want to make sure that his estate is properly documented and it goes to the right people if the worst happens.
You think there's a chance he could get up there and look around and say, you know what? Here I am floating on my tin can so high above the world and just decide to stay. Just pull a Major Tom and just decide never to come back, that it's better up there, that he belongs up there.
It's like Tommy Lee Jones and Ad Astra.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert, but the same kind of thing. But now, I don't want to turn this too serious, but I was reading something an astronaut had written about what seeing what being in space and seeing the planet from space does to one's feelings about earthly problems and conflict and how it makes everything seem so tiny and so petty. And it's so psychologically foundation shifting that his hope was that everyone at some point could see the planet from outside, from outer space. You know, we talk about if people in this country were able to travel outside their town, or people were able to go to a different part of the town, experience a different culture, how wonderful that would be for everybody. Think about being able to have that perspective and how it would change our behaviors.
It's beautifully put.
It's deep. Mm-hmm. Travel is a great investment in yourself and your perspective. You learn that people are not all that different and all that, but I don't know that everyone's going to get to space.
No, I don't think so either, but more power to them. Meanwhile, before you let me go, I got to tell this story about what happened when I came in this morning.
Okay.
So I get in, and we have a little show meeting, and Mitch comes in and nods and looks at his phone, and we go into the studio. I start setting up. you know, and I set up the text line. I set up my email. I set up my other email. And we get, you know, I get everything, the whole mise en place.
Your life is really hard, Dan. We're so sorry
listen,
for you.
Listen, I'm building towards.
Is there a second half to this story, or was it?
And I open Twitter, and I send out a promotional, you know, the little Bernstein Rahimi show tweet. And then I'm like, God, this is weird. And Layla said, hey, check your DMs. I sent some audio I want you to hear. And I'm like, I didn't get it. And I'm looking, and I see all these baseball writers and score personalities. And what's wrong with my Twitter? And I realized it was Spiegel's Twitter that he had left up. And I couldn't.
What'd we find?
I didn't have time. Look, first of all, it was just weird how it took me a while to discern it because we follow so many of the same people. And it didn't look awkward or odd. It wasn't anything strange in
there. How about my profile picture, which looks very different?
It's not like the way it was configured. I was in show mode, and I'm like, we got to do this, got to do that.
What about the nudes?
You know how it is. but I was thinking, if like I were a Kevin Zipak or a Chris Ranji, I would have just like typed, like just fired off a string of like super cynical
danger
baseball tweets. Just really dark.
The game is broken.
Tweets.
It can't be fixed. And I'm falling out of love. 96 days until football season. Bears.
Yeah. If I really were a worse guy, I would have put some thought into that.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. You're a terrible guy. You're a terrible guy. Don't sell yourself short. You could have gone into my DMs and see who I've been talking about. Deep-seated secrets about. No, I don't really have anything of consequence there.
Yeah, boring DMs?
Yeah, that's super good. Boring DMs. I'm not Shane, you know?
Like hot boy summer.
Yeah, hot boy summer, baby. Yeah. Well, thank you for not perverting my Twitter any further than it already is on my own. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was. I probably might have if I wasn't right in the middle of just like opening a show, but it was too easy not to. I think we should actually probably all sign off as a station, as a workplace to not do that to each other. But who knows?
It's gonna be a tough ask.
I can't sign off on that.
Of course you can't, because you're six.
Yeah, it's accurate. Did I tell you about my bun in sixth grade? Dan, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Coming up, I want to hear this voicemail. We've done Spiegel Idol. We've had Bukshambi, Jason Benetti, Pat Hughes, Joe Buck critique Matt Spiegel's play-by-play. But it's always a clip here, a play here, a clip here. And they always said, well, I want the full context. I want the lead-up. Joe Buck was so serious about that you sent him the full 20-minute file of your inning.
He asked for the whole inning. So I had the audacity to send it, or the odyssey, excuse me, to send it.
And then Joe Buck left you a 3-minute critique on your voicemail of your full inning of play-by-play, and he has given us permission to air said voicemail. A voicemail from Joe Buck that he thought was never going to see the light of day does next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a fastball, and it's driven deep into right center field. Chris Bryant going back, and that one is gone. That is a three-run bomb by the hot-hitting Brandon Crawford off a 3-0 fastball from Rex Brothers. The Giants have taken a big lead here in the fifth. 5-2, San Francisco. A little bit of dejection here in the booth, at least on my part. I wanted to give you better. I feel like it's my fault, the Giants.
You're going to find out. We have nothing to do with it, brother. I did it one time, and I don't anymore.
It's your game. You're in there. You're impacting it. I get it.
So I thought.
All gamblers have felt the same way. Superstitious fans have felt the same way. It's relatable.
When you wear the hat the same way when you're a kid and you're watching the games and you're like, I am not taking off this sweatshirt. We're on a roll here. I'm thinking, I'm going to get into the booth. I'm bringing the good vibes. Cubs can do some good things against the Giants, but no go on Thursday night.
It's almost like they didn't know that you had stepped in for the inning. They should have.
I mean,
they should have felt that presence.
Show a little compassion.
Remotely, when you were in Wrigley Field alone.
In an empty Wrigley Field.
How did they not feel that passion 1,800 miles away, yeah, or whatever it is?
I love Ron Coomer saying, we don't have anything to do with it, brother. I used to. I don't anymore. Coomer's talking about his playing days there. I just want to help decode that or whiteboard that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So,
I was sad, though.
You were?
Genuine
sadness, yeah.
Brandon Crawford, home run, man. Rex Brothers comes in. He can't throw strikes with a slider. Comes there with a 3-0 fastball. Crawford came into the game hot and destroyed it. And just, you know, it was ridiculous.
You wanted another positive inning for the Cubs.
I did.
You wanted an excited home run call.
Yeah, I couldn't,
for the archives.
I couldn't help myself but invest emotionally. Yeah, well, you have a positive home for my archive, sure. But, yeah, just, you know, you want the team to win. All of a sudden, there you start feeling like a part of things, even though you're not.
You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Pat Hughes, how he handles it. When someone leaves the Cubs, he no longer cares about them or has any idea.
Have we ever said that?
Yeah. I think we've shared that on the air.
Yeah, that was the best.
Or, I mean, maybe I just trade a confidence.
That was the best. Once they're gone, Matt, I don't really care. It's amazing.
Pat Hughes. Like, that's how I feel.
I know. It's a lot of people. Yeah, it is how you
feel. That is exactly how I feel.
Yeah, it was Arizmendi Alcantara. It was like, oh, look, Alcantara's here. He's on the Reds. Oh, look at that. Remember him, Pat? Yeah, once they're gone, Matt, I don't really care.
That's really interesting.
Pat, I was like, never related to you more.
No. Yeah.
So someone on Twitch asked what's happening with the fourth installment of Spiegel Idol. We're trying to... We started with Boog and Pat, the Cubs broadcasters. Then we went to Jason Benetti. Then we went to Joe Buck, who's called 23 World Series, and we're like, we maybe should have saved him for last.
That's an Did early, he call yours?
It's an early wad shoot.
Did Joe Buck call your World Series?
It was one of the 23. The call of the walk-off bunt, frankly, it came across like he hated me. It was very biased. He wished that I was on the Cardinals. It's true.
And he was talking about Aaron Rodgers for some reason.
It was annoying. And Madison Bumgarner just would never end. But now we're trying to one-up it.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult.
I think we feel good about this.
We do feel good. That's what the listener needs to know. Like, this name is big enough to where it can't just be a text message to send somebody. There's some scheduling that has to be worked out, and this person's doing other projects that, you know. So it's a
and
big enough.
And we've got day games Wednesday and Friday,
exactly.
So we're not the easiest to schedule with this week.
It makes this week a little difficult, but we have the utmost faith in this one. Yeah, the utmost.
That's our executive producer. So then the challenge will be to top this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be.
Is Abner Doubleday around?
It's going to be tricky. But
oh, God. See, people used to call La Russa Abner Triple Day because he invented the game, of course. So then I just thought, what if we could get La Russa?
I think that's the play.
That'd be great.
I think we got a better chance at getting double tap.
It was a terrible call.
Stupid. Lousy.
I don't know what you're doing. On negative vibes.
You feel
on negative vibes. Uh-huh. Is that what he said?
Yeah. That is what he said. What he was calling your game. So
I'm guessing you know the rules better.
It's true. So as we wait for the fourth official installment of Spiegel Idol, Joe Buck wanted the full context. He asked that we not make him look bad. We bleeped out some curse words. We're going to protect Joe Buck's multi-million dollar broadcasting legacy by not getting him in any sort of trouble.
Just don't get me in trouble.
How are we going to get you in trouble? You left a voicemail critiquing Matt Spiegel. So this is one of the best in the business. A personal voicemail to Matt Spiegel after listening to the full 20 minutes with context, what he thought.
Hey, so I listened to the top half of the inning. I listened to the bottom half. At some point here, we're in a move. We're moving houses, so it's just a mess in my house. So I will get to it, but I love everything you're doing. You have the part that others struggle with, like the technicians struggle with, the play-by-play stiffs. Because you do what you do every day. So you can talk. You don't have to worry about that. You just have to get a bit more technical with the play-by-plays, like a general sense of what I think you need to think about when you do it. And that is, like, when Peterson makes that play down the line, you got to say one out. And you got to keep resetting. It's radio. So because they're not looking at a score bug, like the Fox box, whatever you want to call it, got to have like a mental hourglass in your head. I've known some radio guys that actually had one in front of them at every time, like a little, you know, however many sand grains were in there. When it ran out, they'd say the score because people don't know. So, you know, you can't assume people have listened to the first part of the game. You're doing the fifth inning. So what's happened so far? Why is it 5-1? What's happened? You know, a lot of times I used to do on radio, on the strength of an Albert Pujols 3-run first inning home run, the Cardinals lead after 4-3-1. So a quick recap or why the score is 5-1, that's part one. After every out, you got to say how many out there are. Think of yourself, you know, in your car at the airport waiting to pick someone up. You don't know how many out there are because you just turned it on in the middle of an inning. So after every out, say how many outs there are and then set up every pitch. Here comes a 2-2. Here comes a 3-2. First pitch of the at-bat. You know, that kind of stuff. So that, again, as I said when we were on the radio, you're setting the listener up for, okay, we're about to hear something transpire. Not just, oh, and that one's in the right for base hit as it falls in front of Rios. It's, well, where was the pitch? And or I didn't know the pitch was coming. What the f***? So I would say try to get more technical because the loose stuff is your strength. So I hope all that makes sense. And I think, you know, again, you're in the fifth inning. Don't be afraid to kind of hog it a little bit. And I think Coomer's letting you have your room, which is great of him. He's such a great guy. I think he's letting you have your room, so use it. You know, back in the first inning, the Reds put up 3. Whoever hit a 3-run double, bases clearing double. Cubs got their run in the third on a solo shot by Bryant. But the Reds added 2 more in the fourth, and now here we are in the fifth. It's 5-1. Like, recap. How many out? What's the score? Okay. Bye.
That's pretty cool.
What a good dude, man.
Right?
It's very cool. It's very genuine.
Very straight.
The relationship you fostered with him, and it's cool, man, that he's willing to do that for 20 minutes of his day and then give you that 3-minute voicemail and put a lot of thought into it. So you're getting a masterclass from one of the best. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very lucky, and he's a very kind guy. And it's some super useful stuff in there. I love that he's talking about Coomer giving me the room, and it says Coomer, he's giving it to me, he's such a great guy. And he's right. Coom is the sweetest and such a good partner, even in those little moments where I've had a chance to do it. So yeah, you know, it's great. And how about on the strength of a Albert Pujols 3-run homer, right? Tell the story.
Yeah.
How'd we get here?
It's great. And also the idea of having a like pointing out what you're good at, right? That's always just a useful method of critique.
Yes.
You're great at this stuff. You got to work on this.
So that helps you listen to the other stuff.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And he talks about those play-by-play stiffs. And he's right.
Yeah, that was the best.
He's right.
That was the best. If there's anything there, is there anything there that could get him in trouble? The play-by-play stiffs. If he said, you know, the play-by-play stiffs like Casper and Jim Nance, like something like that.
That would have gotten him in trouble. Airing the cursing would have gotten him in trouble. It's true. There are a lot of play-by-play jobs, right?
Yeah.
That pay money. And just like there's a lot of talk show host jobs that pay money, and there are some that are better than others and all that. But like you can only get to some certain level by doing some certain things. And you can be, you know, play-by-play guy of a Mac school and make a good living. But if you don't have all of it, if you don't have the technicality and the personality.
You need all of it.
And then a ton of luck, right? There are great broadcasters who never get the biggest jobs. But there's 100 factors that go into it.
We all know those guys.
But you've developed the personality around sports for 2.5 decades.
Yeah.
You've developed the play-by-play chops around sports for 14 innings, 13 innings.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that I haven't talked about it with him, but I'm sure he's dealt with a ton of tapes that people have sent him or he's listened to for friends or whatever. And he's thinking to himself, oh, God, these guys are technically solid, but who are they? Is the personality, like, are they at all interesting? You know, and you and I've dealt with that. I've had a bunch of interns that we've had through the years or whatever who've said, what should I do about my career? And I'm like, whatever makes you weird, whatever makes you interesting, go with it. Push it. Like, allow that to come out. Allow your personality to come out.
You're the only one who can be you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You're the only one who can be you, and that's the only way that you're going to be something interesting and be viable, as if you're like, oh, that is a unique personality. So go ahead and let that be. And if there's less room for it in play-by-play, but you still have to have some of it to an extent.
Yeah, well, it's what makes you stand out. It's what can make you a beloved figure as opposed to just a replacement-level person in front of a microphone. But tell Joe thank you. That's very, very cool that he let us share that on the air. That was Joe Buck with a private voicemail to Speaks critiquing his play-by-play. A lot of useful stuff in there. I've been wanting to get to this for a very long time. I hope you all feel the same way. It is one of the most ridiculous local news stories I've ever seen. Next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's so refreshing. They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinion.
This is just straight hard-hitting news. We like weird local news stories around here. Remember the tragedy of the news anchor on their birthday?
Oh, so sad.
It was terrible.
The replacement was in, and that was good. But the sad story is what happened to the regular guy.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's tough stuff.
Anything can happen on the local news.
Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
Terrible way to go.
Jeez.
Terrible way to go.
Start the newscast like right into it.
And why anybody would feel that way about a newscaster to deliver that kind of punishment?
It's a high bar for local news stories to rise to that level of weirdness.
Yeah, certainly. And I got to say, for the record, I think setting him on fire after he was murdered.
Jeez.
Totally gratuitous.
Efficient.
No.
He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
See, no. I mean, why bother? That is...
Okay, so people who are murdered that choose to be cremated, how do you want them to... end up?
Well, that's a choice that they've written down and shared with their family. This is, I believe, a murderer choosing to set someone on fire post-murder. It's like, what are you doing?
Stop, he's already dead. That type of situation.
Yeah, he's already dead.
But that's an old classic news story. I want to present to you Randy Wallace as the news reporter, Fox 26, Houston, and stripper refunds.
Well, this might be a first. It's the first I've ever heard of this. A 32-year-old Houston man files suit against a stripper.
Yeah, he says he loaned the dancer money and he wants it back. But she says, hey, there's no such thing as stripper refunds.
Fox 26's Randy Wallace is live tonight from the Southwest Side nightclub where the couple met. Randy.
Melinda, she goes by the stage name Naomi, and she says that about a year ago, she was dancing here at Treasures when she met a man named Robert Wallace. Now, the dancer and comedian says they were just friends, but to Robert Wallace, it was much more than that.
I have had situations in the past where customers have followed me home. I've had to move twice, switching gyms, switching jobs.
But having a customer sue her is a first for the statuesque dancer who calls herself Nomi.
He was becoming a regular, and we did become friends. I really like him as a friend, and I still do.
We had a dating relationship, and on May 3rd, we had broken up.
Robert Wallace says he loaned the dancer about $2,000, and he wants it back, along with a laptop and some DVDs.
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back.
I know how stubborn she can be, so after a week of waiting for her to return my things, I decided to file a suit to get my stuff back.
Since the word loan doesn't seem to be in Nomi's vocabulary, and Robert says the cash and other items were not gifts, it looks like an out-of-court settlement is out of the question.
I've given him gifts, too. You know, I mean, how do I get my booty and boobs back?
Still, both sides say they've learned a lesson. Robert says he's not dating any more strippers.
I did see it possibly ending this way.
And Nomi says there's no such thing as refunds, exchanges, or rain checks when strippers are involved.
No refunds in a strip club. I've even had people come up in there asking, oh, can he get a dance mail, pay me back next week? We ain't got no layaway plans either.
Now, there's no court date yet, but it looks like it will ultimately be up to a judge who decides who's right in this one, the dancer or the customer. Reporting live from Southwest Houston, Randy Wallace, Fox 26 News.
That's amazing.
She asks maybe the question of our time. How is she going to get her booty and boobs back?
How do I get my booty and boobs back?
I don't think you can.
You can't. You can't.
She really makes
She
a good
already
point.
Gave the dance. That was the transaction.
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back.
Right. Well, then you can't believe in loans. It's a crucial component of the loan is the repayment. So she don't believe in them.
I don't believe in loans. You give me money, it is just mine. And it's over.
Yeah. And by the way.
That's a really good, sensible thought on loans, by the way.
In the history.
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back.
Good call. I tried that with the bank. They did not go along with me for that one.
But she has a point. In the history of transactions as an exotic dancer, every time someone's given her money, they have not asked for the money back.
No. No.
They're not loans.
Sunk costs.
Yeah, there are no receipts. Like, you pay for a service, you get a service, but that's just how it goes.
Well, what about the laptop and the 40 DVDs? Okay. And then the $1,800, you could debate, I suppose, but the 40 DVDs, she could give those back.
I'm wondering if he paid for her enhancements, if that's what she's saying.
That is not what she's saying.
You don't think so?
You think that,
it's a wrinkle here. I mean, obviously, a boob enhancement is going to cost more than $2,000.
That's exactly right.
But maybe he paid for a portion of it.
I think that he would have made that case.
Like the left one.
Well, at that price, maybe like a third of the left one.
Well, I guess you could technically give those back.
Exactly. That's
what
I'm saying.
He seems like a pretty litigious individual, though. I feel like he would have mentioned that in the 2.5-minute news story if that's what he paid for.
It's important to mention that our boy there, Robert Wallace.
Straight out of Strip Club Central Casting.
Oh, if you could have thought, like, I wonder what a guy who loans $1,800 to a stripper looks like.
comedian also.
Oh, yeah, pardon me. A comedian and stripper. Know me. The Robert Wallace, he's an IT guy. Did they say that in the thing? Because I'm looking at a news story here. He's an IT guy.
Which, what was the reporter's name
No offense to IT guys, but, you know, we're not shocked.
It was also last name Wallace.
Yeah. Randy?
I think it was Randy Wallace.
And you trying to get him?
Yep.
Yeah,
we got follow-up questions for Randy Wallace. Yeah,
I have some bad news relating to this story. Exotic dancer Nomi has been fired from her job after national coverage of the lawsuit.
No.
Yes. Apparently, Nomi will be filing for unemployment. She's been fired from her job at the adult club named Treasures.
Wait,
I mean, I get it, man. If I'm an owner of a club like that, you know, world opening up again, that's the last thing I want is more people in my business. Mm. You know.
Damn.
Last thing I want is people seeking out that celebrity stripper. Now, last thing I want is them coming by.
Wait, what did she do wrong in this transaction? I mean, she became close with the customer, I suppose, but that's allowed.
An attorney for the club states that Nomi Mims, was fired, quote, after showing up demanding personal contact information for another dancer, unquote. So the club is saying that she went in there and wanted somebody else's contact. It's a messy situation.
I don't know about anything going on, but I am on Nomi's side.
How do I get my booty and boobs back?
Apparently, you can't.
You
should we do a show from there?
A remote, now that it's opened up?
Yeah, where is this?
I don't go to Treasures in Houston unless Nomi's working there. It's a long-standing policy.
Houston, Texas. Well, look,
we've doubled up with Tory Hunters, but we're not going to have to go to Tory Hunter's place.
No,
part of me wishes we were.
Yeah.
But
Tory Hunter, former...
kind of ducking me a little bit.
Oh!
Shocking!
Oh. Ooh, have you seen the Twins record? No wonder he
is. I just said, are they like, what, 15 games up at this point? I haven't checked recently. Let's see here. They are 12 games up on the Minnesota Twins right now.
Wallace, by the way, Robert Wallace, the IT professional, says that he was in a full-fledged relationship, claims he was more than a customer. Quote, we were going out. We were intimate. We were building a future together, says Robert Wallace. Well, if that's the case, then you don't get refunds on stuff. If you were intimate, if you were building a future together... You know, if you invest in a girlfriend and she dumps you, you don't get anything back.
Yeah, but weren't we just talking about divorces in the pre-show meeting and that you do invest in somebody and sometimes even though they might not be anything and they're trash, they still get half of your stuff? So should he get at least the boobs or the booty back? He has to pick one.
It's understandable.
It's a little out of context compared to the stripper story, but I understand what's going on.
Strippers, Jeff Bezos, what's the difference?
It doesn't matter. There's no difference. You're right.
Here's my favorite detail in the updated story. Judge Greg Mathis and the People's Court have reached out to Robert Wallace and Nomi Mims to settle their case on national TV. And I, for one, applaud this attempt at booking. So
can we be on this beat, please? If they do an episode of the People's Court, I'd like a follow-up.
I'll set
please.
A Google alert.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. Speaking of which, what happened to the Cocaine Bear movie? Do we have an update on that?
No.
Cause?
No, huh? Jenny McCarthy. What's the other one? What's the other blonde actress?
The other blonde actress?
What's her,
Florence Henderson.
No, for some reason, Jenny McCarthy's name came into my head.
Amy Smart.
Hold on. Jane Mansfield. Jane Mansfield.
She's in Pitch Perfect. What's her name?
Pitch Perfect.
Kate Mara.
No, Pitch Perfect. I saw
Flula doing an ad the other day for Jägermeister.
Oh, good
coffee.
For him.
Yeah, Flula was in a commercial.
Anna Kendrick was in Pitch Perfect, but she's not blonde.
No, I'm talking about. Not talking about Anna Kendrick. Who is the play-by-play guy, play-by-play lady for Pitch Perfect? Who is it?
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. It's the one that's writing Cocaine Bear.
You seen that movie?
Oh, Kate Banks. Or Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks.
Thank you.
Yes.
Elizabeth
Jesus,
Banks.
Marion Joseph.
Thank you. So sorry. Pitch Perfect is about 12th on the Elizabeth Banks credits list that
well,
I would
also,
go
you
with.
Also, you said, who's that blonde actress? Know the other one. As if that was a singular entity,
right.
It's not a very good clue.
I tried with Florence Henderson.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Bargains and Spiegel, the score.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.